Well, good morning. The sermon this morning is from Running for Jesus, is what our title is this morning. Before we start the sermon and before we have an opening prayer on the sermon, I wanted to remind you that we do have our website. If you're listening to this via podcast or some other means, it's at Marysville, the numeral 3CU.org, Marysville3CU.org. The podcast is under Marysville and then 3CU all put together. You can find that out there on podcast if that's how you listen to the sermons. If you like to give, there's a place to give at our website again, Marysville3CU.org, and we have Facebook, and you can like our pages. That's under, as you imagine, Marysville3CU.org, and our contact information is out there as well, but we welcome your financial support where you can give at the webpage as well. So let's start our sermon with a word of prayer. Lord, we pray that you would just be with us in this time. Teach us to keep running and to be mindful of how we run. May we be pursuant of your will for our lives. May we be obedient to you. May we not be distracted from the things that are around us. And Father, as we hear this word from you, may we open our hearts for any correction that you have for us, any adjustments that we need to make, that you might be first place as we would run this race. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as some of you know, I usually like to start with a little bit of a story. Well, I don't know if always, but sometimes. And this morning, that story is actually, we're going to read a story out of the Bible. So that's going to be our story. But I'll try to read a little bit more dramatically. And we'll find that story in the book of Hebrews. In the book of Hebrews. And as you know, we use a New King James Version is very similar to the King James Version, and from a translation point, we like that. But in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, in Hebrews chapter 11, that's where we find the faith chapter. If you look up the faith chapter, you look that up, if you're looking on the internet or however you might do that, you're going to find it in Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to start with verse 17. And so we're going to read the latter half of chapter 11. And our main sermon body will be coming out of the first part of chapter 12. But this passage here is the setup. So follow along with me, if you would, again in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promise offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel, and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he came of age and refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, because valiant became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings. Yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. It's a great testimony of faith and a great group that is presented to us and the stories that are there. And that brings us into the setting that he talks to us about in Hebrews chapter 12. Have you ever been to a track meet? We'll talk about the setting a little bit more because he's going to talk about a race. Maybe you haven't been to a track meet or you haven't run to a race, but maybe you've watched the Olympics. And in the Olympics, they go to those great big coliseums and people all the way around them. Sometimes they might be in giant football fields, but you got people all over the place. And all the way around them as those people get out on the track to run. That great cloud of witnesses, those people that are watching, those people to cheer them on is what these people in the faith chapter, when we talk about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and the rest, that's that cloud of witnesses watching us run the race, as it were. As though it's their triumphs that are cheering us on. It's that encouragement that you get from that crowd. And so whether literally or figuratively, it's basically telling us, look to those that are cheering you on by looking at their life. Their life is what cheers us on. The victory that they had is what cheers us on. The faith that they had and continue through life is what cheers us, encourages us on as we're running that race on that track of life. And that's how we come into this passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12. As you round the different corners of life, they're there cheering. It sets that stage. And so now we're going to look in Hebrews chapter 12, just where you were already at. And we're going to look at those first four verses. I'm going to read all of them first, and then we'll come back and break out some of the thoughts. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. The New King James might say, besets us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. The rest of the passage is great, but we want to focus on that so we can deliver this focused sermon this morning. When we read in that passage and we come to that first part in verse 1, it says, let us lay aside every weight. Can you imagine trying to get into a race and there you are at the race and you decide, I'm going to get a 50-pound bag of potatoes and that's how I'm going to run this weight race and try to beat everybody else. You're carrying weight that's not necessary. You don't pick up potatoes to run a race to be the fastest. It'd just slow you down. You'd barely be able to run. You would be walking. It's extra weight. It's not necessary. That's our first point. Don't weight yourself down with the unnecessary. What is that unnecessary in your life? For some, it might be they've taken on an extra job. It might be they need to take on an extra job. But some take on extra jobs for the wrong reason, because they just want to have more money, to buy more things, to do what they're searching for happiness. Are you placing burdens on your life that aren't burdens that God wants you to carry? Sometimes we get ourselves caught up in other people's lives. We're to help bear other people's burdens. But that might be different than nosing into their business and becoming busybodies, with our cause being to just stir things up. But are we bearing weights that we don't need to be bearing? Sometimes we put financial weight upon us. That financial weight then turns into a distraction because it keeps us from going forward, because we have to earn that extra money in order to have that extra thing, whether it's that many channels on our TV, or maybe it's unlimited data, or maybe it's eating out every night, or always eating the steak. Do you always have to do that? It's not that those things are necessarily wrong, but are you putting financial burdens there that don't need to be there? Are you volunteering for every group? Not because God asked you to, not because God prompted you, is because you want to look good because you volunteered for everything, and then you're not able to do anything. Are you doing what God's asking you to do, or are you doing the things that make you think you look better? Our focus should be Christ and what He has us to do and the things that He wants us to do. Not our egos and how we look. Because sometimes He'll ask us to do the things that other people might not look real well on, but it's the right things to do. They might not be happy with us to do, but if God is first, we're willing to do them. But sometimes we stretch ourselves so thin, not because God is asking us to, because we're searching for that thing to make us feel better. And maybe that thing is a deeper walk with Christ, but now we don't have time to pray. We don't have time to read our Bibles. We don't have time to do the ministry that He's asked us to do that we're afraid of, because we put these other weights on us that keep us from actually running the race He wants us to run, to slow us down, because we've made these other things excuses to keep us from running the race as fast as we could, as well as we could, because we burdened ourselves down with things that we should let go of. I don't know what those things are in your life, and maybe God's pointing them out to you even as you hear this message, but don't weigh yourself, is our first point. Don't weigh yourself down with the unnecessary. We also find in the next point is set aside sin. Would you run a race with a long skirt on? Or some kind of a long robe? Would you do that? You know, some of the girls might wear things so tight, or pencil skirts or whatever they are. They're long enough. They can barely walk. But would you try to run a race that way? Those things that trip you up, as it were, it's almost like running with your shoes untied. In Romans 12:1, in that same verse, it says, halfway through, we see, let us lay aside every weight. And then it says, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Think of that ensnaring, that tripping up. It so easily trips us up. The King James would use the term, as I said before, the besetting sin. And some of you might have heard that before. It's that sin that keeps tripping you up. It keeps getting in your way. You need to get rid of that. But sometimes we might try to get rid of it on our own outside of God, and we might read some self-help book, or we might listen to a particular preacher that's real good in his oratory. That way that maybe we can get by this thing, or we do whatever it is and we try to do it on our own. But even there's power in the Word of God, but we need to look to Jesus. People spent more time reading God's Word instead of all the books about the Bible. Just read the Bible and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us and instruct us and let us know what we need to do. Get rid of the sin, that besetting sin, that tripping up sin, the things you're in the way. Ask God to help you. Don't try to do it on yourself. Allow Him to be Lord of your life. Allow Him to be in control. Allow Him to fix your life. And even though it might be scary and you're afraid what He might ask you to do, and you're afraid of how He might want to change your life, you got to let Him That's what it means when you say, let him be Lord of your life. And if your place of surrender is letting him come through the heart house of your life and tear some walls down and remove some things, then you might not like it, but you need to submit to it and allow him to be in charge. Set aside that sin. Can you see that race now? The person that was running the race and they were carrying that bag of potatoes, they get rid of that. But then they kept tripping over themselves or tripping over that thing that they put in their way. And it's that sin that didn't need to be there. And when they get rid of that, think of how much easier it is for them to run. Now you see someone that's running along. The weight is jettisoned. They've gotten rid of those things that aren't burdens that God's put on. They're burdens they put on themselves. They've gotten rid of those. And the sin that was tripping up, the things that they shouldn't be doing, they've stopped through the help of God and the grace of God. So now, what's left? Verses 1 and 2, we'll read them together. Now we've laid that foundation, and we'll step into verse 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, can you see yourself running in that Olympic arena, as it were? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our third point is, don't lose focus. Keep going. Don't lose focus. Keep going. I actually changed that point later, and let me change it to that now. Point three is not, don't lose focus. Keep going. It's really, don't lose focus on Christ. See, don't lose focus, keep going is something that you could write on a book or read in a book. Don't lose focus on Christ is what it should be. We keep our focus on Christ. When you're getting ready to run a race, you don't look everywhere else. You have to look to Jesus. He's the focus for the finish line. It's not in the sidelines. And when we say, don't lose focus, keep going, then we can start saying, I'm not going to lose focus, I'm going to keep going. Then we start focusing on ourselves instead of focusing on Jesus, focusing on Christ, where we need to look. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, is what we need to be doing. When you run a race, you don't want to look backwards. When the coaches tell you to run in the race and they're looking there, some kid's looking backwards. You want to see how close everybody else is. He's looking at everybody else. How close are they? But when you turn around and you look backwards, it slows you down. You're not making the... You're looking backwards. You're looking around. Don't look back. It slows you down. You're not supposed to be looking at the crowd. Look at me. Hey, look. See, I'm running the race down here. No, your focus isn't on the crowd. You can listen to the crowd for encouragement, but your focus is Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith, meaning he's the finish line. That's where the focus is. If we're walking with Jesus, that's the finish line. You don't look to the crowd and what everybody else, they can be yelling for encouragement. Sometimes we can get distracted by people trying to trip us up as well. You don't look to yourselves and the fact that your arms are hurting or your legs are hurting or, hey, look at me, I'm moving my arms. You don't look, you look towards the goal. Because in truth, if you think about this, if I'm looking behind me, I might forget where I'm going. If I'm looking at the crowd, I might forget where I'm going. If I'm looking at my arms, I forget where I'm going. I mean, think about the people that walk around looking at their cell phone. They run into walls, they run into poles, they run into doors. Almost tripped down the steps. They run into other people. You can forget where you're going by looking to you. You can forget where you're going by looking to others. You can forget where you're going by focusing too much on the race instead of on the target. Focus on Jesus. Because you certainly don't want to be the kind of person that, as you're focused on the wrong things and on yourself, that you're bumping into other people and causing them to have challenges in their own race. You want to be that distraction to others. The focus needs to be on Jesus and the race that he wants to tell us to run. He should be our coach. We're not self-coached. We shouldn't be. That's the message of sanctification, is that God is our coach. We're not self-coached reading this help book and this help book and trying to figure out which one is right. We are coached by Christ. He is our pilot. He is the focus of our race. Shouldn't even focus on the pain or the distance left to run. It should be on Jesus. It should be on Jesus and allow him to help us. So allow Jesus to help us with the weights that we've taken on that we shouldn't have. Allow Jesus to help us jettison the sin that's tripping us up. Allow Jesus to help us not to lose focus on him, that we might not be distracted by other things and other people. So in closing, I'm going to read this passage of scripture again, and then we're going to go to a bonus point. I'll call it a bonus point. I've done my 3 points, and we're going to get a bonus point. So Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 4, and then we're going to skip over to 1 Corinthians 9. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostilities from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. You have not resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin. And then turn over with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 9:27. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 27. Reminding you of our points. Don't weigh yourself down with the unnecessary. Set aside sin. Don't lose focus on Christ. And for our bonus point, 1 Corinthians 9:27. He's talking here about a race, an athletic competition in these prior pieces. And he says, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Disqualified. In a race, runners can be disqualified. They've broken the rules. They've done something they shouldn't. They've been disqualified. So think of this. The Apostle Paul was being careful that he was not disqualified, meaning he could be disqualified. This man of God walking through said he was being careful lest he be disqualified. This scripture says to me, we need to run our race understanding that we can be disqualified. We can backslide. We don't have to walk in fear because we walk in the grace of Jesus. But we can be disqualified. We can run off the track. We can fall from grace. We need to trust in Jesus. So don't weigh yourself down with the unnecessary. Set aside sin. Don't lose focus on Christ. And don't risk being disqualified. We are to run the race with endurance. We are to keep running for Jesus. Are you keeping on for Christ? Is your focus on him this morning? Let's be standing for the closing prayer. Bow your heads with me. Lord, I pray that you would search each one's heart that is hearing this message. May we be open to the touch of God and the change in our hearts. And we will be obedient to what you're asking us to do. Lord, help each one here to respond to the Holy Spirit. Help each one listening to hear your voice and be obedient. Touch, we pray. May we be open to you in our daily lives. May we not risk being disqualified, but may we run this race with endurance. We thank you that you run with us, that you help us, you strengthen us, you encourage us, you make a way, you train us, and make us stronger. Just be with us, we pray. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Heads bowed and hearts praying just for a moment. If you have a need from God, we don't have an altar, but you can come to the front or sit in the chair. Or wherever you might be, whether it's right now or later today, just be obedient to God, we would pray. Let's remain standing for the doxology, and then you'll be dismissed.